Here comes Bonsignor.
Welcome to the JDV Productions Podcast.
Trouble here on the front stretch. One car hard in the outside wall.
Interviews with the biggest stars.
Man, I can't give it up enough to this team, but especially Tommy Baldwin, man. I've had a lot of fun with him over the years, and it's just getting better.
Go behind the scenes. In-depth storytelling. Catch up on all things JDV.
Together, yeah, JVD Productions and Josh Mineta.
The JDV Productions Podcast.
Your champion.
Starts now.
Welcome back to another episode of the JDV Productions Podcast. My name is Josh Vineta, founder and president of JDV Productions, and I'll be your host. Today, it's another Champions Edition from an AdNOC Speedway. We have NASTRA late model champion Tim Wenzel joining us. Tim, welcome to the JDV Productions Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So we had another Wenzel on last week. So if you're listening, you don't have deja vu. We had Nate Wenzel, who is Tim's brother. And is the NASTRA Modified Champion at Monadnock and now also at Claremont this year. So upping his championship total. But Tim, we want to hear from you. How did you get started in racing?
Well, we get started back to how I even got involved in racing. I actually started as a kid going to Riverside every single Saturday. My father raced there. I probably started going around 96 because I was born in 93. And then I went up to the last day it closed. I was there. Took, you know, pieces of the racetrack home, all that stuff. Then after that, my dad kind of raced here and there. He ran on the tour a couple times in the early 2000s. And then after that, he ran MRS for, probably 6 or 7 years. And then he took a break, sold everything, just kept the trailer. And then once Nathan got to the age of doing karting and stuff, I started helping out with that again. And then Nathan went up to Monadnock with the Young Guns and started racing that. And then he asked me, hey, you want to try out a mini stock? And that was in 2018 and been racing ever since.
Well, the rest is history, as they say. So clearly a family affair. Who's older, you or Nate?
I'm older, but I'm the oldest by 10 years.
By 10 years. Okay, got it. So there's a little bit of distance between the two of you guys. Cool. So of that start in racing and your career in racing, what has been your most memorable or favorite moment so far?
I would say 2 weekends ago was probably one of the coolest. For me and Nathan both to win the championship on the same night. We both won the race, you know, each of our own races. Maybe a close second would be my first win at Hudson. My first ever career was at Hudson in a mini stock. It was the first time I ever seen the place. And I passed Corey Plummer in the last lap in the last corner. We finished side by side. I think I won by like 3 or 4 inches. So that was pretty cool, too. And then probably another highlight would be the first championship last year. That one was a lot harder to get than this year, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your championship run this year, which was, you went in with a pretty candid lead. So racing is a family affair for you guys, as we mentioned. Your dad raced tour-type cars for a while. You've been around it with him. Really cool that you guys were at Riverside Park. I think I never got there. And that's like a great regret. I wish I could have seen the place. It just sounds like an incredible atmosphere. Talk about what it's like to be doing this with your family every Saturday night at Monadnock.
It has its up and downs for sure. We've been, for the last 5 years, every week, all summer, that's what we've been doing. But we obviously spent a lot of time together, probably more than most families do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nathan and Lindsay, they still live at home and stuff, but me, I have my own house and stuff. So, and we live about a half hour apart, but my father has a shop down in Holyoke, Massachusetts. So that's where we're working all the cars and working everything there. And we're down there probably 4 nights a week, all summer long, working on all the cars and just trying to maintain everything. But besides that, we wouldn't even be able to do any of this without my father. He's the ringleader. I mean, his 30 years of experience plus our crew guy Ted that helps out, he's got another 30 years. That's definitely one of our biggest advantages I think we have, is all the knowledge of the, all right, you know what to do with this, with the car, with setup wise and all that stuff. I mean, that's a huge help. I mean, if it was just me and Nathan trying to do it on our own, we'd be probably finishing last every week. So, but it has its up and downs as a family, but we always stick it out. And plus, there's plenty of arguing, especially between me and Nathan, who thinks that, he always thinks he's better than me and I'm better than him. And It was fun when we raced 1 year in the late models when they were street stocks back then. We raced against each other. And he beat me out for the championship, and I finished second to him. So that was always fun, but nerve-wracking, I'm sure, for everybody watching at the same time.
That's oh, for my sure. gosh, yeah. I imagine your family was sitting there, like, you know, chewing their fingernails or something like that. So you talk about Notebook, and you talk about the history your dad has and all the experience he has. Well, I think the Notebooks are going to get thrown out in a couple of weeks when the racetrack gets repaved. What do you think is going to happen with regards to the setup? I mean, there won't be many, if any, configuration changes to the racetrack, but could be a brand new asphalt.
Yeah, I mean, I can actually talk a little bit now about how the old track was, because it's irrelevant now to everybody else. Like, this past year, for whatever reason, that, like, you just, 1 and 2 was, every week was totally different. You know, 1 week you had to be half a lane off the bottom, off the yellow line. The next week you had to be right in the yellow line, and the yellow line would just drag you right around the track, around the corner, I should say. And then 3 and 4... that's going to be totally different, because now there's going to be no speed bumps. I heard there's going to be a curb instead.
Yep.
And 3 years ago, there were speed bumps were pretty much non-existent, and they put them back. And so everybody had to kind of relearn the corner again, because I had found something before the speed bumps were there, and I was kind of just, I cut the quarter in half, and everybody else really never figured it out. So that, I had an advantage with that. So I don't know what the track's going to be like. Hopefully it's not a single groove track, and we can, you know, because there really hasn't been an outside there the past couple of years. So I'm hoping that it promotes some more side-by-side racing. I'd like to be able to pass the cars on the outside. That'd be really cool and fun to do. Besides that, you know, it's going to be fast. It's definitely going to be faster. I think everybody's going to pick up at least a half a second on lap times.
I think that's probably a safe bet. Could be really quick. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll find out in April. So you mentioned earlier in the podcast, you have won now 2 consecutive late model championships at Monadnock. Sounds like the first one in 2022 was a little bit more challenging than the one you had to win here in 2023, which doesn't mean you worked any harder for one than the other. But talk about your road to the championship. Basically, if I understand it correctly, all you had to do was take the green flag at the last race, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. We had a big enough lead. And then the car count that we had, I think we had, if 3 more cars showed up, then there was a chance that JD Stockwell could have, you know, something bad could have happened and he could have won it. But it's just really about consistency, doing the repetitions, doing the same thing over and over again, working on the car every week, make sure nothing's falling off the thing, scaling the car, making sure all the numbers are where you want it. And then once you get to the track, it's just either, you know, a little adjustment here this way, a little adjustment here that way. And then on top of it, just staying out of trouble and racing everybody clean. Because if you got enemies out there, it makes your life a lot harder than it really needs to be.
So, they're literally racing against you.
Right, exactly. I like to just think of it as I'm racing the racetrack and trying to get around cars, you know, and just not ruin anybody else's day, because then one day they're going to want to ruin my day, which did, you know. That'd be totally fair. I couldn't, you know, have any complaints about that at that point. So I try to race everybody the same way that I want to be raced. And for 99% of the time, it's pretty good. There's a couple out there that may not like me or whatever, for whatever reason. And that's fine. But I would like to think that everybody, you know, we all race together pretty good, and everybody kind of gets along. So that's a good thing.
It is. So one thing I've learned in my career is that there's always a moment during the season where it feels like things could have gone either way. And if they went one way, it probably would have been a very different outcome than you winning your championship. Is there one moment that sticks out in your championship run this year where you're like, that was a close call?
Yeah, that would probably be the second Triple Crown race. And it was mixed up with the Battle of the Belt stuff from all the 3 other tracks. So you had guys running for belt points that never even raced a Monadnock before. Then you had people that you would, you know, like a Jeff Rollins would jump out of his modified and jump into his late model, and he's running for the Triple Crown points. Then you have, so there's 3 different points going on at one race. You got 18 to 20 cars now. And then it's just, you know, surviving. And of course I drew the bad pill. The redraw put me starting 9th after I set I sat in the pole. So I started at the back of everything. And then that race, I remember, I think it was like 4 laps in, I got spun out I was trying to get to the bottom, and a guy that really never raced her before went into turn three a little too hard and spun me out. I got lucky; they gave me a caution, and then I got spun out two more times in that race.
Wow!
And still in the finishing sixth, though. So I kept my head on my shoulders, didn't pull the pin, didn't go and try to retaliate or spin anybody else back out. I just said, all right, starting over. And just, all right, there's nine to go. All right, there's eight to go. All right, and get one more spot. So if I pulled the pin that race, I think it would have been a way different scenario towards the end of the season, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you must have passed like 40 cars that night or something crazy.
I passed the whole field like three times that night. It was definitely a long night, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, you know, so much of that, and the reason I ask the question is you see it so many times, and perseverance, you know, pays off. I mean, there's always moments like that. Very, very rarely do you hear of somebody. You might hear of somebody going flag to flag in a race, but it's very rare you hear of somebody going through a championship season where it was flawless. And you know, that was probably a defining moment for you, solidifying your second consecutive championship. So talk a little bit about late model modified. Have you ever driven Nate's modified?
I have taken it out. I think twice I've taken it out. Yes. And practiced it a couple of times. It is a totally different ball game. That's for sure.
Talk about, so for those of us who don't race, right. Or maybe who have and decided we didn't like it or whatever the case may be, talk about the main differences between the car.
Just the modified has has so much more grip just because you have so much more tire to rely on. And then Adnoc, the speed difference and just the pace is so much. I mean, they're running 2 seconds faster than I am. So just the pace. And I mean, if I did it enough times, I'm sure I would get the hang of it, be used to it. But I think it could definitely be easier at a bigger track to get used to a modified than a short track like Adnoc, where everything is happening so quick. Mm-hmm. When you're in the corner, you're out of the corner. You're in the corner, you're out of the corner. You're in the corner, you're out of the corner. So I've entertained the idea, but I kind of like where I am with the late model stuff. I got that stuff figured out pretty well. So I don't know. You never know. One day we have enough modifies for sure that I could jump in one at any point if I wanted to. So never say never, right?
No, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, I think if you wanted to enter a modified race, you could find one pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So talk about a little bit you guys live kind of in that 91 corridor. You can almost get anywhere, right? What makes Monadnock special for you guys?
My dad raced there in the 90s when he started racing. He built a Pinto mini stock and he went up there with his ramp truck every weekend. And I think they raced Friday nights back then. I don't know. That's just where it worked out good because of the young guns. So that's why we started going back up there again when Nathan wasn't old enough to drive a pure stock or a mini stock or whatever. And then it's just, I don't know. Stafford's kind of like, that's, you know, you kind of know what it is. Connecticut people are Connecticut people. And we're like kind of right in the middle. We're like, we could go down with the Connecticut crowd and go down south, or we could go up north with the New Hampshire crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of, I don't know. We just picked Monadnock and that's just kind of where we've been going ever since.
Cool. Cool. So if somebody wants to stay up on what you guys are doing with racing or whatnot, are you guys active on, do you have social media people could follow you guys on?
That is our biggest downfall. We don't. Okay. Like me and Nathan will share posts from like when the track posts results and stuff like that. The biggest one that my stepmother, she probably is the biggest one. She usually writes a little race report on her Facebook page and shares it and stuff. But maybe we should change that and make a Wenzel racing page or something and be a lot easier for everybody to keep up on all the stuff we're doing.
I think it would. Sounds like a great idea. So thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on the podcast. Once again, this is Tim Wenzel. He is the defending and now two-time defending NASTRA late model champion, although the name is going to be changed in 2024 for that division. Congratulations again, Tim. Thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to celebrating with you and everybody else on December 9th at the Banquet of Champions for Monadnock, and then seeing you in April where you'll start your title defense for your third consecutive late model championship.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Hey, maybe I can win a street stock title, a late model title, and then who knows what the name will be next year.
three different.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, and I'm very excited about what you guys are doing with the track. I think it's going to be great. I hope everybody comes out and supports everything you're doing. Hopefully you get, you know, decent car counts and And I really think it's going to go in the right direction with all your promotional stuff you guys do and all that. So I'm really looking forward to next year.
Thanks. We are too, Tim. Well, you can join us again next week for another episode of the podcast. We'll have another Monadnock Speedway champion joining us. In the meantime, for all information about Monadnock Speedway and JDV Productions, you can visit jdvproductions.com or monadnockspeedway.com. And keep your eyes out for the schedule release, which is coming on October the 16th. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.